Hurkun go ku trap sons and trap sons and trap sons. Trap sons and trap don't sons. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дур булаа. Дадас дуутан дур булаа мөрөө та. What's up, people? I'm here.
What's up, people?
I'm here. What's up, Brandon? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me and Mayhem, the man, the myth, the legend.
Allegedly. Bro, you needed some new material right there, bro. You can't be calling me the myth and the legend at the same time.
Already? We haven't even started. All right. Mayhem Miller, the convict, the felon. No. So Mayhem Miller.
Oh, my God. Mindless piece of shit. You never would say that in my face in the studio.
We're really
pushing to new levels of uncertainty about this show. I was already feeling pretty stupid about this show. I've been thinking about it a lot. You know what I mean?
Really? Come on.
Yes. I mean, I'm just saying, Adam, I don't know. I think today's the day I quit.
Are you being serious?
I don't know.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
Me neither. I've lost it.
Well, I would hate for you to quit because I think we got something special. And I love doing a show with you. You're a good dude. And that was a good
Am I, though?
Yes.
I've been thinking about it a lot, bro. Like, I feel as if, like, you know, our ratings could be better, right? You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of the MMA world is scared of me and hates you. So it's like the perfect swirling combination of like, how bad can the show get, you know? But the saving grace is, I guess, what, today you got John Jones, who's yes. just fresh off an arrest. You got him on the show. So yeah. at least we got something to look forward to on the show.
Yes, we have John Jones on the show.
Amazing, bro. That's a big get. I mean,
thank you.
You're like better than Ariel Helwani.
Yes, we have Gerald Mearshart on the show. We have John Dodson on the show. And we have Ty Emery. We got a stacked show today. And listen, you better not quit this fucking show, okay?
Bro, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It kind of hinges upon the John Jones interview, bro. Everything is leading up to this, you know, because I really feel like I could shed some light on the situation with John. I feel like John, you know, we're giving him a great platform here,
yep.
you know, on the number one MMA comedy podcast.
Yes. It's
filmed from my couch. So, you know, I feel like we can really break out with this episode.
All right. Well, you are the myth and the legend. So now listen, bringing it all back. Meanwhile, speaking of, you know, sometimes I get my expectations too high. I think that's my problem. Sometimes I want things too bad to happen, and then when they don't, I get frustrated. Like yesterday, so I hosted this pilot a while back called Bar Tab Trivia, where you go into a bar and bam, you're on a game show. It's a great idea. It's like cash cab for bars, and they pitched it and it had some kind of deals and yada yada yada. You know, how typical Hollywood story. So then the producer's like, let's do it from home. I'm like, all right. So I turn my house into like a bar set. I write out this like bunch of monologue jokes, you know, like we're gonna do a talk show. And then I have my computer and my wife is working. I'm doing this while I'm like writing out the trivia questions and my little baby is like coloring over them. He thinks it's coloring. I'm like fighting with her, like, no, whatever. So I put it on. I'm like, all right, we're gonna go. We're gonna do it. Like within 30 seconds of the show, my computer screen goes to like, you know how it goes to automatically screensaver. So now I'm like, I can't read it. I got to stop.
Rookie mistake. I thought you were our tech guy.
No, I'm not a tech guy. And I thought I actually put every hour screensaver, but I did the wrong thing. And then it's this kind of thing where you don't know you're on the game show. So the first contestant in, I was like, hey, do you like drinking? And then the guy's like, yeah. I'm like, well, so does John Jones, but he does it when he drives. You're not on the show, right? Now the guy's angry the whole show because I forgot that when you do that, they could still – so now the entire show, it's live on Instagram. This guy's like, F you, where's Mayhem? Worst show, Brendan Schaub's show is better. Like, just constantly, like, talk about anal sex. You know, like, just all right. So that's whatever. Then I flip my camera around the wrong way, and my wife's flipping out. She's like, it's dirty. I'm like, no, I'm being clean. She's like, no, the house is dirty, right? So now she's mad that like the house, and then she leaves. I'm like, my producer left because my baby went to the diaper. She went number two. She pooped, right? So now I'm out there, and people are calling in. But and I thought, like, when you're on Instagram Live, I'm like, hey, request to go live. Just request to go live, and you'll be on the screen. And then people didn't know how to do it. They were like, can I go live? Like, they were just saying, can I go live? Like, that's how they request. Like, they were requesting. So it just became a train wreck.
It just became an extension of the rest of your life. I get it.
No, but it
makes perfect sense to me.
It was still fun. I mean, it was fun. People were like, this is the best show ever, having such a blast, blah, blah, blah. But then people kept saying, like, so then I would, like, you know, people would go live with me. No one was wearing a shirt. Right.
Nice.
Everyone was like, I'm on edibles. Like,
nice.
One guy just wanted to show me his artwork. Like, he gets on, he gets one question wrong, but he goes, hey man, look at this. Tonight he wants to show me all his paintings in his house. Or, you know, like, it was just one thing.
It was just a big promo. I get it. All right. Well, sounds like you did a smash up job, and I'm sure that'll make you $1 million.
No, I'm telling you, we're going again tonight, 6 o'clock. To every night we're going. Bar tab trivia on my Instagram. Everybody was either on like mushrooms. One guy who won, I think, was 19. So I'm like, I don't know if you can even drink. We're sending him a bottle, because if you win, we send you a bottle of wine.
So you're just like, I mean, you know what? This is weird. You know, I figured the apocalypse would have like cooler characters as the criminal masterminds. Instead, it's you and your baby shitting on camera, and you sending bottles of wine to underage children.
Well, he said he was in Canada. He said he was in Canada. And then one lady was like, whatever. She was like, I used to be your nanny. So, like, my nanny was doing when I was 3 years old.
Nice.
And then another person kept – and then it was, like, one bald guy after another. So I was like, this show is sponsored by Rogaine. It kind of reminded me when I got sued for $20 million in college. I told you that story, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's dig into that later. You've already ate up a lot of time on the podcast with this crazy-ass bar tab trivia. You know – but I think, yeah, I think you're good for this job, for sure. I mean, just shitting on drunk people, that's what you do your whole life.
Well, exactly. But then people were saying to me, like, actually, the owner of the wine company that sponsored it, Schurer Wine, said, valiant job tonight, which was nice. He's like,
Valiant. Man. You know what? She's really digging deep for a snide remark, because Valiant is slaying a dragon, bro. Valiant is not doing bar tab trivia, but
no, I'm telling you,
no, mate, we have different definitions.
But then it was funny because my wife was holding up signs from the producer saying, like, ask easier questions. So I'm like, oh, ask easier questions. Like, I was just reading them as opposed to actually. Like, that happened one time while I was on stage telling jokes, and the owner of the club wrote clean it up, and then they sent me a piece of paper while I was on stage, and I'm like, clean it up, and then everyone's like, boo. So then the owner became the bad guy. But yeah, I mean, there's so many times. I told you that one story about how when I had that comedy show with porn stars, and some girl got a dildo thrown at her head, and I went to tell you that story?
No, go ahead. I mean, you got to tell it now. Jesus Christ.
So back in the MySpace days, I was promoting comedy shows, and I realized that if you put like a hot chick on a flyer, it would like attendance would like triple.
I one time got during those days, the early days of the internet, I once just put a picture of Tequila's tits as my profile picture. And I mean, instant boost, like 1,000 friend requests a day. So strange. A lot of dick pics. Early days of dick pics. Dick pixelated. You know what I'm saying?
Right, of course. Yeah. So what happened was I had to produce these comedy shows, and I realized that if I put a porn star on the show telling jokes, everyone would show up. Like, all these people. I mean, it wasn't exactly the best crowd I want, but, like, so we had the show at the Laugh Factory. It went well, but they said, like, the girls were too – it was too censored, so we moved it somewhere else, a place called Forbidden City, right? It was a club on La Brea. It was owned by the Russian mob, which I didn't know about, right? So it was me, Casey Armstrong from the Howard Stern Show, intern Casey, and it was this guy, T-Real, this porn star named T-Real. So we booked a bunch of porn stars to do comedy, and the comics were like me, Yoshi, Greg Wilson. I just picked the dirtiest comics I could say. And then Nikki Hunter was the main chick. So, and then T-Real got us like, he didn't get us like the porn stars. He got us like the gonzo girls, like the girls that would be in like, you know, Anal Cream Pie 17 or something. It was like, you know, Gang Bang Zara. It was like the We weren't getting the A-list porn star.
No, no, this is like the edgiest of the edgy. This is like, yeah, like the MMA roasted of porn stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not the Joe Rogan of porn stars, not roasted. Yeah, 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 I get it.
Yeah, these are like Ween Dog's greatest hits, right? So, right. So what ended up happening was, so I go on and the crowd's all a bunch of, we got sponsored by this dildo company and then this like lube company and all these like people send us this bunch of stuff, right? So are you still here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm getting weird phone calls. I didn't even know that the phone worked that way anymore.
Okay. So what happened was this girl, I go on and the crowd's a bunch of bikers, like black biker gangs, like the Rough Riders showed up. And then a bunch of like old hippie, like weird people. And then just some strange perverted. And
so I'm imagining DMX is there and like Fish is on the other side.
Yeah.
And then right down the center is the anal blasting porn star. Go on.
Right. And I'm going on and I'm throwing my heat and getting barely anything. I'm like, okay, this is going to be rough because if I'm doing this, how the porn star is going to do, right?
Yeah.
So the porn stars go on and they're getting nothing. Like they're
bombing. Crickets.
Crickets, right? And then Greg Wilson goes on and the girls are getting drunker and drunker and drunker, right? To the point where this girl going on and she's like, she goes on stage while he's on there, sits on the stool, spreads her legs, and goes, eat me out. And then Greg Wilson goes, I've been in a lot of bad places, but I'm not going in Devil's Canyon, right? So that's what he says. So then it just keeps, so then the girl, they wouldn't let the girls drink because they were like 19 or 20, these porn stars. So the one girl goes up sloshed and she's like, you know what? That bartender wouldn't serve me. Well, fuck you, because that one didn't. Starts drinking, right? So now the bartender's pissed. Owners are pissed. They're flashing their boobs, right? Then the girls keep getting more and more wasted because they're not getting laughs. They're like just start making out with each other. They're wrestling. So the one girl goes on and takes the mic stand and just hurls it to the crowd. Like Barrett, like hits the table, luckily, and then takes the dildo that we were sponsored by and hurls the dildo and hits some girl in the face in the crowd with a dildo, right? So this girl then like, they cancel the show, it's over. People walked out of there like it was 9/11, just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, other people were like, when's your next show? Greatest show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I'm saying like, you know, this is like, I think I'd be on the greatest show of all time, kind of. I just like to see a catastrophe every once in a while. You know, it just, it's amusing to me. I like this awkward kind of dildo throwing madness. But I, you know, again, I'm man.
But the girl that got hit with the dildo went and filed a police report.
Oh, and, well,
and
you know,
the cop was
she
like,
has a right to do that.
Was like, we don't know how to file this because, you know, under dildo, porn stuff throws dildo at the girl's head.
Well, if it's black, I mean, that's assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. So so that was that. That was another terrible thing. I was really looking forward to it, but all this time and effort, and then girl hits with a dildo. So
man,
how are you holding
what was
up?
That what was that show called? I'm not holding up, bro. I'm telling you, bro. I just took my first shower in days. I'm like kind of crawling the walls. I keep watching CNN and I don't know. They're telling me that the world's over. So I'm like, I'm hunkered down, ready to do it. Like, I don't know what the next step is. Did you get that rifle for yourself?
No. I know. All it keeps right. getting worse. First, it was like, don't be out with 10 people. Then it was like, don't leave. Next, it's going to be like, get into a drawer and hide in it.
Yeah. Sure, it's going to be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go to the local market for your Republican bread. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a little bit worried, man. They're talking about National Guard stuff. I feel like we're being re-educated because like all the shows on Netflix are about like gangster shit and like, you know, society fracturing, and they keep suggesting dystopian movies for me and shit. Like I'm getting real worried, dude. I gotta tell you.
I'm getting a different vibe from you. This is not the regular happy, lucky, positive.
I know.
Like I actually feel bad when in the beginning when I said the felon whatever, I've been still beating myself up for saying that because I felt like I shouldn't have made that joke because I thought you would laugh, and then now you're like,
I laugh at none of your jokes, okay? I laugh at all of them inside like a karate man. Hey,
are you all right? I'm actually. Are you getting? I mean, because you were fucking holed up for a year and a half, and now you're.
Yeah, I know, and exactly. I'm having fucking flashbacks right now. Fucking weird, let me tell you. You know, but at the same time, you know, I'm keeping myself busy, you know, doing as best I can. But like, bro, I don't know. You know, you got the baby to play with. I'm over here, you know, staring at the damn TV with doom and gloom. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there looking at the same shit that I'm looking at. And I don't know. I watched all of Ozark. Maybe that's affecting my, you know, maybe that's affecting my mood for sure.
You're a very bright, good looking, nice human being with a ton of experience.
Yeah. You know, and if the apocalypse happens, we'll be all right.
All right. You're pretty trained. All right.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Is that, you know, yeah, it's really funny to make jokes about, but you know, it's the same thing as like I was making jokes about Corona on Twitter, and then really like later I was like, all right, so you're gonna joke about that, and now it's like a real deal. Like 10,000 people in Italy died.
Yeah, but in the Holocaust, the Jews were getting by telling each other jokes. Like, you can't. I mean, what's the way to look at it? I obviously want to take it seriously and not leave out and be a fucking moron and you know whatever. At the same time, what if I'm inside worrying, upset, depressed, or if I'm inside laughing?
Yeah, and that's the whole reason I want to keep doing the show, even though it's probably terrible audio. Probably, you know what I mean?
Dude, you know, people are thanking me right now. John Jones is here and saying that we've gotten the only good thing about this whole thing is that MMA roasted. I'm getting so many emails and texts saying that we're getting them through this. Okay. I've got
All right. You know what? That's the downside of me not checking the comments and whatnot. You know, it's that's the downside is that I don't know. I don't see the positive.
Oh,
I'm just like, I'm just worried. I'm just watching fake news networks going,
I've gotten so many people saying that, like, the only good thing is that we, like, you guys get me through the day. But speaking of which, we have the champ is here. John Jones is with us.
John Jones,
how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's been a weird 3 days.
Yeah. Mayhem, okay, if you're not familiar with John Jones, I'll tell you. So,
is John Jones manager?
No, this is John Jones, okay? So this guy right here is named John Jones, and he's
Wait. Adam.
Yes.
John Jones.
Yes.
Okay, so if you don't know John Jones, John Jones is from Brooklyn, and he's a video game programmer, amazing at it, and so what happened was he took the Twitter name John Jones, and every time the fighter John Jones gets in trouble, he gets inundated with people telling how much they hate him.
Oh my God.
How much he sucks. How you're a piece of shit. What's your life? Yes.
Remember the time that we had a party at my house? I had a party. I mean, I like let you DJ for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you just put on Eddie Murphy. My girl likes to party all the time, party all the time.
Yes.
That's who you are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I like to party all the time. So, but you're going to love this guy. Because.
All right. You know what, John Jones?
Yes.
The mustache is some bonus points, all right? I'll just go ahead and say that first. You look like the coolest hipster in Brooklyn. But what the?
I lean into it.
You're a video game designer? What do you do?
Yeah, so I run art teams. Like, I hire artists, I manage them, and when I'm not doing that, I'm fending off hate mail for Bones' latest atrocity.
All right, well, bust out some tweets, bro. What the hell? How have you been representing John Jones for this long, just by cyber squatting on his name? Good job, by the way.
Well, it's not cyber squatting, it's literally my name, and I got it for him. I got the .com.
I'm angry at you. That's
a lot of people do get angry, man. People are so pissed. People are telling me, like, give up your name, give it to the millionaire spoiled sports celebrity. That'll teach him.
This is America, bro. This is America. You got it, fair and square. Somebody stole my website. I can't even get mad at him. They're trying to sell him.
An example of like what his life is like. So he got a DM saying, "You're a waste of space on the UFC roster. Ruined DC legacy, you cheating pussy." Right? Mm. Then he writes back, "I would be genuinely surprised if the UFC has ever had any space for me on their roster." So then, then the guy writes, "Go fuck yourself, buddy. Lost me $50 because of you. Juicing fuck. Your whole career is a cheat." And then he goes, "What does my morning ginger and beet juice cleanse have to do with you losing money? I'm totally lost here." Then the guy writes back, oh shit, just a white dude. My bad. NIG LMAO.
Bah.
I was wondering how you're going to cover the last bit of that.
This is like
I'm trying to be playful with the dummies, but every single time, like since 2012, since UFC 151, when he backed out, I never followed the sport. I just occasionally, like, my phone just drained, the battery drains instantly. And that's, well, I'm kind of a masochist, so I just respond to everything and be just a little bit of a
Well, you seem like a smart dude. Like, obviously, if you're running, like, art teams, you got to, like, kind of be put together. So, quick on your feet, and you must have some damn mental energy to expend on our beautiful sports plethora of intellectual fans with chronic traumatic encephalitis.
Here's another one. I am sick of you, John. I will be your heavyweight debut when you get out of prison. I'm 6'6", 250. Let's get it on. I'll beat the stupidity out of you. He writes back, dearest Todd. Dearest, I must admit, you sound totally hot, and your offer is titillating to the extreme. Most of the time, I'd be all, wreck me, daddy. But as it happens, at this moment, I'm happily married to a lady. Alas, except that we are merely big, beefy man ships passing in the night. Oh, what could have worked out in another lifetime? Best regards, John Jones.
Oh, my God, bro. This romance fan fiction is off the chain. Hey, so let me ask you this, John Jones, because, you know, we only talk to MMA dudes on this show, so it's rare. And I'm like an undercover nerd. I'm on that Doom Eternal right now, hacking away. Okay. Yeah, that one is fucking hard. It's hard on Hurt Me Plenty. Ultraviolence is goddamn impossible. So what kind of games do you like? What are you inspired by, and what type of games do you make?
I actually just stopped, paused Doom Eternal to come do this. I have been obsessed with it. I keep going back to play, to re-enable previous levels with cheat codes just so I can F it all up, because it was so hard and frustrating.
ID clip, baby. Hey, so wait, did you get through the Marauder in under an hour? Because I didn't.
God, no. Like, honestly, I'm puss. I play on easy. Like,
I can't turn it. Man, you just made me admit it out loud that I fucking switched it to easy to get by that Marauder. Fuck! I'm so ashamed of myself, because the dog kept biting me and the fucking imps kept shooting fireballs, and I had just had enough, bro. I put it on easy too. Sorry, America. I let you down.
Thanks, John. Crying now, mate.
Oop, I froze.
Hope you're so proud of yourself, dickhead. He writes, crying babies is hilarious. Send audio. He goes, you're a bad and sick man, John. Hope God could save you. What God? I've been getting a lot of recruitment emails from Satan, and the benefits are pretty good, and the asks are pretty in line with my exhausting proclivities. I don't even know how to say
proclivities.
Oh, fuck. I don't know, man. I don't know words. You're absolutely right. I didn't graduate college. All right, so, but yeah, dude, you're hilarious, man.
Thank you.
How did you get fired? See, that gives me, like, you're getting fired? You're a fucking genius. How do you get fired?
It's just corporate BS, man. It's just a difficult industry. I've been laid off, like, 5, 6, 7 times. That's just how it goes. What's funny is I'm actually actively interviewing now during all of this, so as I'm going through background checks and shit, people are going to be looking at my Twitter feed like, why is he coming on to strangers in a sexual manner?
Hey, what's your discography like? Like, what type of, like, platformers, you know what I'm saying? Like, shooters, what type of stuff do you make?
So Just Cause 3 is the most recent thing that I worked on.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I was behind, my department did the characters, weapons, vehicles. I was really into the vehicles, like 120 different vehicles. I was designing, like, okay, here's where they break apart. Here's how they get damaged. Like, I hired the teams to do all the art, all the production. It was really awesome. Like, my job was designing how vehicles explode in the coolest way possible, and then designing the guns that make them explode. It is a really, really cool career, except like every 18 to 36 months you get laid off. But yeah, that's a cost of a
sentence. Well, because it's kind of like the movie. It's like the movie, the new movie industry.
Exactly.
Right? It's just nonstop. Like there's so many people who want those jobs that they just keep, you know, they do this hiring insanity, right? Hiring, firing.
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
And they want you to be a rock star and program and you know, do 60-hour weeks, you know. Like yep. crunch, right?
Exactly. I've gotten divorced over crunch before, way earlier in my career. Like we're like 80, 100, 120 hours a week, put a cot under the desk. Like, I mean, it can be a fun job, but I mean, there's an inexhaustible supply of 20-year-olds that'll think they think rock star job. Basically, that's just a code word for glamorizing crappy working conditions. It's like, woo, yeah. Child labor.
Yeah. I mean, look. Tell Adam he's a fucking idiot because he said he told me the other day when I was talking about video games, he's like, how old are you? Like 40? I was like, yeah, just about. And yeah, I play video games, the most popular thing on earth.
It is. It's the most, like, honestly, dude, males and females 30 and up are like the biggest demographic in games. Like those are the people who have the most disposable income. Those are the people that make my job possible in 18 month spurts.
Yeah.
I peaked out at like, I don't know, Mario Brothers or like the back of the Donkey Kong or NBA Jam. And then I didn't play them for so long. Now it's too confusing for me. Like, there's too many buttons. Like, it's
Nintendo Switch, Mario Odyssey, man. It'll get you right back into it. It'll make you feel like a kid again. It's amazing. Especially now. Like, just you get the Nintendo Switch Lite. It's like $199. You can get like bundles on sale. The new Mario game's incredible. And Zelda.
I think when my daughter gets a little older, I'll like play with her, and then I'll get back into it. You know,
perfect.
Like,
your daughter's smart. She probably can play now, dude.
She really can. She knows all the. She knows how to use YouTube and the phone and put on. I mean, she's in that 20 months. I mean, she's all she
wow,
wants.
That's awesome.
I know, but it's like, yeah, but she'll grabs me like this by my face and goes, Elmo, 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 until I put on Elmo. I'm like, it's like Elmo is like fucking crack, but like less dangerous, like more dangerous. Like
I worked on Sesame Street games. Actually, the first two Sesame Street games to come out in 20 years, Elmo's A to Z Adventure and Cookies Counting Carnival. I worked on that. I managed the art for it. Like all the 20 or 30 stages, like going through art direction for like Elmo, like, okay, he's 3 years old. He's not gay. Like don't, it's a weird style guide to make him not, like his fingers can't be too sharp. He can't be too effeminate. He's not retarded. He's three.
So I'm guessing you got like a lot of notes on this thing.
Many, dude, 40 really? Gigabytes of documents for their style guide. No joke.
And wow. Who do you have to work with that? Like, that's interesting to me. It was like Jim Henson Company or Disney or who owns that?
So there's a Sesame Workshop and there's a publisher. I think it was Warner Brothers. So we work with Warner Brothers, who's paying us. They'd submit everything for approval to Sesame Workshop. And they have a panel, like, well, since like 1969, I don't know how many people know this. They have a panel of like, I think it's like a 12 to 16 educators that approve every single segment that goes on every episode of Sesame Street. Sometimes it'll be like 6 to 9 months in development for just a 2 minute segment. Going through all the approval stages to be educational and entertaining, and then it'll get cut and never be aired.
Well, they're twisted. So they're like, today Elmo likes balls. Elmo likes big balls. Elmo likes small balls. I'm like, dude, whoever did this is a fucking asshole.
They're like, winking at you. They're winking at you.
Yeah, there's no way this person didn't know that I was going to laugh at this. You know.
Well, Cookie Monster, facing the camera, his left eye is always lazy up, so you can't mirror animations.
Wow.
He also can't shrug because he doesn't have bones. He does not have shoulder bones. That was like a note that I got once. Like it's like he's just
weird.
Like biologically, he's just a sack with a face that eats cookies. This is sort of horrifying.
It sounds like me.
Yeah, that's me during the coronavirus too. Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu though, right? I mean, think about MMA and John Jones. It actually got you into jiu-jitsu, right?
Yes, I got a free lesson years ago. Then I went to one of the Gracie gyms here in Brooklyn, and had my ass kicked off of my body.
Yeah. That happens in a jiu-jitsu gym. Yeah.
But they were so nice at all my vomiting.
Dude, your responses though, I honestly like the only like I like John Jones as an athlete. I don't really understand his like thought process sometimes, but the best thing is when you get inundated with people, it is the funny. I go right to you. I don't even go right to like ESPN or whoever, because the bad part is that people delete it. They realize it's not John Jones, and then I don't know what you're responding to.
Oh, it drives me crazy. I have to be so fast at screenshotting. Like I'm John Jones's crisis PR rodeo clown, basically.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, I never thought about that. I need one of those. Oh, the only other Mayhem Miller I know is a black transsexual.
But he blocked you, right, John Jones?
He did, twice. Yeah. Like for years I was blocked. Then he unblocked me when someone tweeted him saying like, "Hey, I like your mustache. You're a great game developer." And Bones, to his credit, Bones retweeted saying, "I think you meant at John Jones," which was truly hilarious. Like fucking funny. So like I retweeted that and I'm like, "This is the coolest thing ever." And he liked it. And that is the entirety of our communication.
Wow.
Over the last decade.
Yeah. I can understand that.
He's definitely, I always thought it was kind of funny. Like the Jesus guy is like the heel, but I mean, he's working it.
I mean, he really doesn't even try to be the heel, bud. It's just that he loves drinking, getting fucking wild with some strippers. I mean, it's just this weird thing where, you know, there's two parts to him. And I think everybody has that, where there's a divergence between the best us that we want to be and then the person that we actually become through habit and repetition. And I feel like Johnny, you know, has a problem where he hangs out in certain situations and gets in trouble. So, it's weird that you're on the outskirts of this just by having the same damn name.
But his comments, somebody goes, "You're a piece of shit, John. Don't try and lie your way out of this. You shouldn't be allowed to be champ." He goes, "Hey, man, if you have a problem with me being ultimate fuzzy cuddling champ, take it up with the judges."
And then I have two pictures of me hugging my cats.
Nice. Use the champ. Always
cats and tacos. And there's another Daniel Cormier as well. That's at Daniel Cormier. And I've met him in person. We've gone out for I had a beer.
Did the judges give you the decision or what?
Well, it being me, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I had to give him a celebratory, you know, eye poke.
So you got on ESPN because of it.
Yeah, my God, that was insane. I went to the recording studios for I think it was like CBS or whatever. They have the same facility they share, and the doorman that was like signing me in through security, his name was Will Smith, and I was telling him why I was there. He's like, "Get the hell out."
Mayhem, this weird. Is better than John Jones, right? No, this
is it. Yeah, I don't know. I keep swinging back and forth. Like, man, I really thought we were gonna talk to Johnny Jones.
Yeah. By the way, you're a very hot wife, though. Your wife is beautiful and seems very cool about the whole thing.
Thank you. Oh my God, she's amazing. Like she feeds me beer and shots. Like while I'm at my laptop, like typing things, I'll like bounce things off of her. Like this doesn't seem like racist, does it?
He's crowdsourcing his damn racism joke. That's pretty crazy. Like, as soon as the news hits, like, or do you got like Google alerts or something when John Jones Twitter. Does something? Yeah.
I mean, I don't follow news about him. It literally follows me. So my battery in less than an hour, my phone battery went from 70% to 30%. I even plugged it into a speed charger that speeds like charges at a 1.5 speed, I mean, times the speed. And it was still draining because of the notifications. It was so insane.
What we're going to do for this podcast is, you know, I said we have John Jones coming on. We're going to put his picture in the thumbnail.
you cheeky shit.
Bro, I love terrible. It. It's terrible. We're going to get so much shit for that.
But it's
going to
be funny.
So I'm going to.
Yeah, good.
No, man, you're a good dude. And, you're gonna get a new job. You know that, right? You're gonna get another job.
Oh, you get laid off because of Corona, or laid off just because they didn't like that stash?
No, they loved the mustache. Actually, my first week on my last job, I just started getting this tattoo, and it was just like scabbed all to hell, wasn't finished, and it was a sales job. So I meet all these normal non-game developer people, and they're like, "Who's this purple haired asshole that's covered in scabs?" I'm like, oh, I'm the video games guy. They're like, oh, cool. All right, that makes sense.
What is that tattoo? Hexagonal? What?
It's just like a sci-fi. Just like a hexagon.
I get it. We're from the future, and it kind of sucks here.
Exactly. And Deus Ex. Like, I have this one also that sort of mirrors it. This is the last thing I got before I got laid off, actually.
Interesting.
But
you're like the friendliest hipster I remember in my life. Normally, when I see hipsters, I think they're going to hate us because I'm a jock.
No, because we're talking to a hipster in his natural environment, the internet. You know what I mean? He's like, look how safe he feels with all his plushies back there. And you know what I mean?
I am in like safe space.
Yeah, there's definitely like a book of some type of art back there. You know, maybe street art. Something weird back there for sure.
Just like 18th century etchings.
Yeah, there you go. I couldn't even think the right. That's it. Yeah.
See, I have the poisoned mind. Rely on me.
Yeah.
Well, listen, John Jones, man, stay safe. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're honestly the best part. You're the best thing about Twitter. The best thing is you. Is your
the fuck, bro? You don't follow me anymore?
I follow you, but this guy kills you, bro. Because
I lost another crown today.
It's just basic comedy of like, you know, bait and switch, you know, people running in, who's on first? I'm on first. I mean, it's basically who's on first, you know, Abbott and Costello, but John Jones.
Thank you guys so much for humoring me and for having me.
Anytime, man.
So well, stay safe. Have a terrific weekend.
Thanks, John.
All right, cheers, guys.
See you, bud. You're going to have to check back in on John Jones sometime. He's an interesting character.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad we have friends outside the MMA world now. Thanks to you,
Mayhem. I'm just gonna say, man, like, because I know you're getting down, and I can feel it.
Yeah.
And once again, I apologize for that stupid joke in the beginning.
Stupid joke, bro. Listen, if you're gonna apologize about your jokes, we're gonna be here all fucking day. All right.
All right. So, listen, just so you know, some of the comments are, keep up the good work, Mayhem. Glad to see you turn around. He goes, who else is watching? He goes, yeah, Adam, don't get down on yourself. I thought you were being a dick at the beginning, but I like your show. You're funny. Nobody's perfect. That was nice. Somebody said, Dean Thomas is a legend. Go Mayhem. These three have a legit family vibe. Talk about like they've been knowing each other their whole lives. Adam's a goofy, successful one with the family. Oh, I wouldn't go that far with successful. Wayne's the creepy, hilarious one who gives no fuck. And Mayhem's a troublemaker with all the stories watching after his little brothers. It's pretty wild. People are like, yo, you're spoiling the fans. Uncle May, I love Mayhem. Mayhem's hilarious. Offering John Jones to drive him for a very low price. I'll definitely watch it. I love when Adam cracks up. Adam's girl's adorable. Podcast is great. Mayhem together. You guys are better than JRE. I mean, it's just one after another. Ween Dog has gone too far, just taking a shit. Mayhem, great. You're really funny. Adam, you're Mayhem saying, well, obviously you're always whining after Adam says, give me the bottle. And seriously, no offense to Adam. I'm just saying that was insanely quick, a hilarious joke. Adam, Mayhem, Ween, thank you for doing this. Yo, Miller, start your own podcast. It's Mayhem meet new and old friends on the podcast. Keep up the network. I feel like Mayhem might be one of the most interesting athletes I've ever seen.
Jeez.
Mayhem's funny as hell. Adam's extremely easy to manipulate. He goes, nobody's raping a baby. Sips bottle.
Oh, God.
Adam, God is the government. But people are just like, I'm loving this.
Is this a new segment where we just read all our good?
No, I'm just trying to tell you. I'm just because you have.
What happens when we start like getting successful and then like it's real negative? How are you going
to
hold up then?
Hey, I listen to Howard Stern all the time, and he reads all his negatives, a lot of the negative shit, and it's fucking hilarious. So thanks for coming. You're the man.
Adam reads mean tweets. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, yo, the best MMA roasted entertaining us during the quarantine with these podcasts. Keep them coming. And that was just from the last podcast. I mean, the one before that was even. I mean. We've just been
getting- All right.
So I'm just saying.
All right, you changed my mind. I feel like, fine, we're doing God's work. We're doing a service here. I feel like maybe we should, like, give better, like, directions for, I don't know, the quarantine. But I guess the direction is right there. Sit your ass at home. Watch a damn podcast. You know what I mean? Don't go outside. Don't cough on anybody. Don't make out with Tom Hanks.
But we're also taking people's mind off the quarantine, man. Like, that's also...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think people are getting enough information about the quarantine.
Man, are we? I think it's overboard a little bit. Like,
oh, I know. You turn on Waze, like, make a left, don't cough. It's just, it's one after another. So, yeah. Anyway, but I'm just saying that people, I've gotten more love about this. People like Sober Mayhem is the best ever. So if you're ever down, just know that you're making a lot of people happy.
Right.
And you know that's.
I'm not down about making people happy. I'm down about like the world right now. Like, you know, it's just a very bizarre new territory that we're headed into. And it, you know, I'm a realist, you know, and
I'm a realist too. But at a certain point, like I look at like even like for example, like that stupid. Sometimes, like all you can do is do your best. Okay.
Yeah. CR Batahuzada is out there coaching in Singapore, and he said that they already went through that. They did the lockdown, and now they're back, and life is normal. So that kind of gives me hope that you know life's going to be normal. You know, but the thing is that I don't know if America has like the infrastructure and to deal with this. You know what I mean? Like they said that Trump like fired all the pandemic people and. Now, you know, it's like we have more cases than anybody. And that's what makes me anxious. Plus, everybody's got pistols, rifles, you know what I mean? And the cops have tanks. Could be like a crazy, scary thing to happen. Yeah, but I got my fingers crossed.
You ever go on World Star Hip Hop?
Do I ever?
There was a nurse there yesterday that was like saying from Alabama that was like saying it's way worse than the news is making it. She's like dead people. She's like, dead people every age, 30, 20, 40. It's not all, just old people. She's like, man, it's crazy up here. So she's like, I can't leave my house. She's like, I'm not leaving here because you got to be quarantined. What's there? So she's like, you know, that was scary. This wasn't like a paid – not that there are paid actors and paid whatever, but this was like –
Oh, my God. Are you going Alex Jones territory? These are crisis actors?
Now? I'm not. But I like – And I hate to quote Cardi B, but she was pretty funny recently because she made this video where she's like, man, what the fuck is going on? She's like, man, I'm watching the news right now. Well, I'm watching the internet and they got all these celebrities up there like, hi, like I'm whatever. And I have the coronavirus, but I have no symptoms. He's like it's a flat tummy commercial. She called it like they're doing a flat tummy tea commercial. It was about Idris Elba, right? How he has the corona, you know, that is his actor who has the coronavirus. Yeah. He has no symptoms. And then people were like, well, if you have no symptoms, why'd you get tested? Like, why are you getting a test? Like somebody had a joke that were like, somebody's joke was actually pretty funny. The comic, he said, man, if you want to find out if you have coronavirus, cough on a rich person and see if they come back positive. Cause it does seem like rich people are the ones getting the tests.
Yeah. I mean, this is America, bro. Come on. We don't have healthcare. So, you know, you need a healthcare that's connected to your job. Oh, what? You lost your job because of coronavirus? That's weird.
Yeah, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I obviously don't think that they're actors doing it. It did seem a little weird that someone's like, I went and got – I'm positive, but I had no symptoms. But then it made sense because he worked with somebody who had the coronavirus, so then he got tested. But I don't know. The whole thing is it's a little bit like – a lot of different information being headed your way, and I don't know what to believe. All I know is dangerous and stay inside because, according to, you know, people are dying like left and right. So
yeah, they had the damn. I think what affected me was they lined up the coffins in Italy, like some weird photo shoot where they just had a bunch of coffins in a church just filled, and that just looks like, you know, some damn end times type shit. Yeah. Pretty creepy, you know, and I guess that affects me. Totally. But the reality is, it's hard as hell to get the thing with what we're doing right now. So I guess they're going to contain the thing, have like a 15-minute test. Okay, that's what I've like read. So, all right, I guess we're headed in the right direction. But it's just an uncertain time right now, and I just want everyone to like stay strong, you know, and stay safe. Like stay, I guess we got to stay inside and go crazy for a little bit. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. By the way,
do some fucking bar tab trivia.
By the way, Don Fry called me up asking.
Oh my God, bro! I feel like I wanted to talk about this. I feel like I completely blew that.
Why?
Interview because I had so much more questions, and we got to get him back on some other time. But the fact that he was so injured really like stabbed something in me. Like, it was like, oh God, like, damn, he gave me so many great fights. I was starstruck a little bit. I was just like, you know what I mean? He's this kind of like, I get how people look at me as like a weird symbol of something, not like, and he's this symbol of manliness. And this guy is so injured right now that it like broke my heart. It really broke my heart, you know, that he was going through so many surgeries and he kept getting fucked up. But the reality is that to do the sport we do, you got to give your body. You got to give a lot to get a lot, you know? And I'm like constantly evolving in my thinking about it, but I'm just mad at myself that I didn't ask, you know what I mean, what was going into that Takayama fight, you know, how he felt with the Ken Shamrock fight. There were so many more questions. I did that, the French caught like staircase conversation or whatever, where you're like thinking about shit you could have said on the staircase. Well, I did that a lot.
He wants to come back. I mean, he wants to
come back.
So he actually called me because he wanted to know what he said because his girlfriend's mad at him.
He was kind of being a, you know what I mean? He like slipped back into player mode for a minute with us talking about the ladies. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure there was something in there to be mad about for sure. Like he was like, yeah, the girls. Like he kind of, we kind of did some pervert talking with him for sure. Like we kind of like, we did some locker room talk, you know, grab him by the pussy.
He'd be the coolest uncle though, right? I mean.
Bro, he is. I felt like he is my uncle. Like I fucking, yeah, you know, like I said, I kind of did a little starstruck there for sure.
Yeah. So here we go. I'm going to get this girl, Ty Emery, on there. So Ty Emery is, so can you go on that? She's got an OnlyFans account. Can you go on this? She just did a Muay Thai kick. Where I got Mearshart, and then Ty Emery. Where did you just go? Mayhem. Hello?
Were you scared?
No, what was that?
No, I had to like charge this thing. I got like iPhone 4, bro. Like the battery life is not really extreme for this thing.
What's crazy about Don Fry though is that like, I mean, he obviously is a legend, but if he fought right now, I feel like he'd be the most popular, one of the most five most popular fighters. Like, you know, like the sport kind of, he was a legend back when the sport wasn't as popular as it was. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I know, but that's the weird thing too, is that he like built the sport kind of, you know, it was like, he was one of the few recognizable stars in an era before like TV, you know what I mean? Well, they had pay-per-views, but not TV, you know, it was not a normal part of the culture is what I'm saying. Yeah. It was like a fringe, like kind of sport. It was a spectacle still. And you know, they like, I don't know. I could have saw the sport go in a different direction, like more towards the Don Fry's of the world, where it's not about winning and losing as much as putting on a crazy awesome fight. And that's kind of where he was, you know what I mean? Like he was in that era of have a great fight and then, you know what I mean? We'll have your back. But like nowadays, it's more UFC is specific towards just win the fight, and that equals rising in the ranks. That's why John Jones at the top.
It's still better than boxing though, because boxing, it's like you get two losses, they think you're a shot fighter.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, but there's more methods to win in mixed martial arts. There's more. You know, like after George St. Pierre got knocked out that time, you know, he like changed up and became a dominant wrestler. You know, there's other ways to do the job. There's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So, you know, I think that the sport's at an interesting time right now. I feel like if the other companies can do something a little bit different, there'll be a, you know, big the market will open up, but right now, you know, there's one show in town.
Well, it seems like ONE FC has a pretty good, like, no shit talking, and they put on big shows. It's just all in Asia.
Yeah, it's a different culture. Yeah, it's a different culture. America, we like the shit talking. The shit talking is half the damn fun. I mean, yeah. Literally, Floyd Mayweather and fucking Conor McGregor went on tour. Like, you know what I mean? Like, weird publicity shit talking tour. And that was just, that was three quarters of the fun was that, you know, was that type of it's a new day, you know, it's a new day in the fight game where it's basically like they do a battle rap in every city, right? You do a battle rap, your arms sweaty, mom spaghetti type shit. And then, you know what I mean? Each night there's a winner of that. There's a winner of the shit talking contest. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, they actually do fight. And I feel like, you know, that makes sense. And then, look, we're still doing it. I mean, I don't know. Really, the UFC should hire me and you as writers so that Khabib doesn't have to, like, dig down to fake Mexican. Like, come on. He's just running out of material at this point. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass. Maybe I'm out there. But to me, it seems like if you're going to have the guys shit talk for a long time, they got to have some new material.
How many books? Like, you're a very well-read guy, though, too.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I read, I don't know. That last term, I read like 500 books. So
500 books.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm like that guy, that Thai, whatever. It was
that guy's full of shit. Sean McCormick wanted to fight that guy, or it was a whole thing.
Bro.
He went to his house to prove that everything was like rented and was like looking for him.
Yo, I love McCorkle's like investigative journalism. What the fuck? Good for him.
And then he ties it. I'll give you $100,000 if you could prove it's not mine. And McCorkle proved it. And now has been trying to collect for like 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what? What's he going to do? Go to the damn Better Business Bureau?
So we got Gerald Meerschaert, who had a huge win over Darren Wynn. See his fight over Darren Wynn? It was at the last big UFC. He was fighting the guy who was like Mini Cormier wrestler. And he came back in the third fight that he was losing. There he is. Gerald Meerschaert, how are you? You even have like your name behind you. It's like a real press conference. How's it going? Hello.
No.
Gerald Meerschaert, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Congrats on that last win. That was a great fight, dude. I was going crazy for you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was fun. Had a good time.
Yeah. That guy was no joke, man. Were you surprised how he was able to kind of reach you?
Yes and no. I was more surprised by how fast his movement was in and out. So the reach me part didn't surprise me too much because, you know, I like to stay in there and fight people. So I figured I was going to get hit a little bit, but he was pretty quick getting in and out.
No, it was awesome. I had money on you too. So I was super happy about that.
Great. I'm glad I could help you out there.
No problem. And then the last fight was a split decision, lost to Eric Anders, which could have went your way too. Were you nervous going into the fight? Because it would have been two in a row, two losses, and you might got cut and yada, yada.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm nervous going into every fight anyway, but definitely nervous coming off a loss. And, you know, the last three fights, it was like, or last three or four, it was like off and on wins and losses. So, you know, to get anywhere, you want to be on a winning streak, period. But, you know, coming off a loss, let alone, you know, a mixed record in the last few, you want to be on your A game and come out with a finish, or, you know, you could be on the chopping block.
You actually had him hurt in the third, and you were down two rounds to nothing, possibly. And then you went to the ground, and I was like, no, don't go to the ground. What are you doing? Like,
that was your reaction when I went to the ground. I have like 22 submissions. Why would that be a bad idea?
Because you hurt him on the feet, and I was like, finish him on the feet. Because how many times have you watched a fight where the guy's losing two rounds to nothing, and he hurts him on the feet, and he goes to the ground, and the guy survives it, and then and wins. You know what I'm talking about? That happens.
Well, I do, but my thing would be then maybe your jiu-jitsu sucks and you need to work on that. The guy's half rocked already. You should be able to choke him out.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Mayhem?
No, I was going to ask you, so where would you say you developed most of your jiu-jitsu from? Having 22 submissions, pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. So a big part of my early career, I trained with some guys in Kenosha out of Strasser's Freestyle Academy. It was mainly Strasser. And then Nick and Hank Aguilar really helped me out a lot, my ground initially. And then once I got to Rufus Sport, we got with Daniel Wanderley, who's a Carlson Gracie black belt. And that really helped refine my skills and like got me in a gi consistently and like got some like finer points where, you know, because other guys, they were wrestlers that came into MMA and just really adapted to jiu-jitsu well. So I learned like fight game jiu-jitsu very early on. And then I had the benefit of working with Wanderley, who's like, you know, he's competed at a very high level, you know, been to Worlds and stuff like that and got some medals and really helped me put the finishing touches on everything. So it's kind of where it came together.
Yeah, and it sounds like over there at Rufus Sport, you're definitely going to be kickboxing a lot, right? So that probably really helped out your game. You know, what's next after the quarantine? What do you think is going to happen?
I've heard everything. I have no idea. Hopefully I get somebody in the top 15, but you know, when this is all said and done, I have a small injury from my last fight. It's just like a sprained tendon. So I'm letting that heal. So in the meantime, I'm just doing, you know, basic cardio stuff, some bag work. I just can't punch with my left hand and trying to stay as sharp as I can. But you know,
who do you want to fight? Call somebody out, bro. We're notorious for the call outs on this thing. This podcast is basically like your sounding board to go, you know, fuck that guy or fuck that guy. Go right ahead.
All right. So I've been calling this guy out on a few places. I'm sure you've seen it by now. I want to fight Ian Heinisch next. I believe he's in the top 15. I think it's a good fight. And you know what? I want to crack that top 15 spot and eventually fight for a belt. So he's the one I got to go through, I feel.
Ian's the guy that was got busted for cocaine, and then he ended up going to jail. In Spain, and learn how to fight in jail, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Championship. Then he was smuggling balloons of coke up his ass from Colombia to the U.S. And
I'm not familiar with all the details, but
nobody is except for Adam. Adam apparently, like, I don't know, did an FBI dossier on this guy.
Yeah, did you see the twinkle in his eye when he started describing how he smuggled the drugs? He got way too excited about that.
Now you see what I deal with all the time. Thank God. Yeah, thank God that this madman, I'm not the only one who thinks he's insane.
No. So we got Ty Emery as well joining us. Ty, how are you?
G'day, how are you?
Ty is a beautiful lady slash model slash fighter. Muay Thai fighter and lingerie fighting championship Hall of Famer, correct?
Yeah, the resume, that sounds like pretty on there.
And I just watched your last fight in Thailand. That was awesome. Congratulations. You won that fight. What was that like?
Dude, fighting in Thailand and fighting Muay Thai in Thailand is a completely different experience. I've only had a couple of MMA fights back in America. Home skill stuff. It's almost spiritual, dude. It's like you're thrown into like a completely different world over here. I'm coming off like from LFL. I'm coming off having my ACLs, both my ACLs done. So I haven't really even gotten into any of the kicking, if that makes sense. I'm more obviously a grappler because of my football. I'm naturally more attuned to those sorts of skills. So being over here and just forcing myself to only be in the standing game and only be able to stand and strike and bang, it's just a completely different world.
So you were lingerie football league and fighting league or lingerie football league?
I'm coming from the Legends football era. So I'm coming from, it's the 2009 to 2015 era, which is Legends Football League, which is stemming from Lingerie Football League. Yes, that's stemming from the halftime show with all the hotties just annihilating each other at the Super Bowl. And yeah, I'm getting involved in the Lingerie Fighting Championship. Those guys pay good.
Of course.
I might slap on a garter belt and try to get down and over there if they're paying that good.
So Ty, this is Mayhem Miller, former host of Down, Pride legend, UFC legend, guy fought everywhere. And this is Gerald Meerschaert, current UFC, one of the best fighters out there. And now we have Ty here, who has
How the hell did you get on this?
not at all.
Listen here. This is MMA roasted, right? We really scraped the bottom and top of the barrel. We think you're at the top. We think you're at the top. Even though you're not wearing a nighty, just a 10th Planet shirt, you know, I feel like we'll probably put – if I know Adam correctly.
Hey, I got deported with this shirt. I'm scraping the barrel with what clothes I've got.
Wait. Whoa. You got deported? But yeah, wait, where are you right now?
November. I was coming back in from I got a 5-year visa, which was for my special talents and special abilities my potential in sport. So I was coming back through after 2 years. And they said no, and I had just finished my last MMA fight. I got my eyes literally gouged out in the second round, like legit. I shouldn't have even continued the fight. I'm a dickhead. But
they got so different rules for that, those kinds of fights. Yeah. Did you gouge eyes or something? What kind of stuff is that?
In lingerie, they have to have their nails manicured to at least 2 inches. So the eye pokes are deadly. And she fought the John Jones of lingerie, right? Wasn't that what happened?
No, this was in NFC in Atlanta.
Oh, my bad.
I packed my bag to go to Bali. So pretty much I described everything, which was all training clothes, because I was like, okay, we're gonna train over at Bali MMA. I just grabbed whatever. Next thing you know, I got deported. So I'm still got the same suitcase. I was like, oh hell. Well, this isn't going to stop me from continuing my MMA journey. Like, I'm too addicted at this point. I'm 2 years deep, which really isn't much if you fathom that. But I think most martial artists, I think you're drawn to, there's something else that draws you to this sort of lifestyle. And I think there's an internal calling that kind of gets you to keep doing it. So maybe that means that there's a lot more mixed martial artists who just haven't found out that they're mixed martial artists yet. Anyway, I just start to think, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm not allowed back into America until I get these visas sorted. So with my Bali suitcase, I just thought, hell, let's go to Thailand. Let's just keep going.
And I am in Thailand.
So now I'm in Thailand with my Bali suitcase and my one backpack, my one UFC backpack from working in someone's camp.
You're in Bangkok? You're in Bangkok or Phuket?
What? Are you in Bangkok or Phuket?
I'm in Phuket. I'm in Rawai, Phuket. So Rawai is I think it's about a 20-minute scooter ride from that main strip. And I'm just off, like, pretty much I'm right on the edge of the jungle. Well, everything's right on the edge of the jungle here in Thailand. But where I am in Rawai is just a small beach town. So it's a lot more isolated. I don't have to deal with any of the BS. And yeah, I'm just working with a heap of local Thais here.
Mirshar, what do you mean, Thailand?
I have not been to Thailand. That's definitely a place I'd like to visit and train. Probably more for vacation, because I don't think the UFC will let me like participate in any Muay Thai fights, and I'm not sure there are any Thais that are this big. But I would love to go there someday.
Oh no, there it is. There's some beasts out there. You'd have some good training.
Now I got to ask you. You told me that you used to spar with Askren. You went 500 rounds and you won one.
That maybe one and a half, but yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, that's so. How shocked were you when that Masvidal thing happened?
Well, I don't know. Shocked. I was probably more sad because that's my friend. Thanks, Adam, for bringing that up.
Bro, he does it all the time. That's all he does.
No, but I'm saying, but that must have been like, I mean, if somebody beats me up 500 times in a row. And then he gets knocked out in 8 seconds. I got to be like, what the? My mind has to be blown, right?
At the time, I was pretty shocked. But the thing is like, you know, it's what he does. He's going to kind of lean forward and shoot every single time something happens. And, you know, even with the knee, it happened to hit the right spot. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't hit that exact. I mean, when you get like freaking – pile drive F5 by freaking Robbie Lawler and he punches your head to the next galaxy and you still manage to get up somehow and like get a hold of his neck. There's not too much stuff, you know, that's going to put you out. So it was a perfect storm. Well executed game plan because remember, even if he didn't get, you know, the clean knockout, like obviously that's what he wanted. He was banking on him giving a certain reaction and Ben did that. So, you know, good game planning on their part. But yeah, it was a little bit shocking, but you know, it is what it is. Every time he sees an opportunity, he's going to shoot in on somebody. And
yeah, of
course. Know, it worked for most other people, and this one time it didn't.
Right. No, totally. Well, no, it was, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I love Askren. I'm a huge Askren fan, you know, whatever he does, always a big. Now, what kind of fans like lingerie football and lingerie fighting? Do you get the creepiest people in the world that are?
I probably get the creepiest, creepiest in the world. I've changed my, I had to change my Facebook name during the LFL days, and the, even with LFC, I've got to start keeping things a bit more private. Okay, so when they would export the seasons out to other countries, you would start getting inbox dick pics from, like, Asia, from Europe. Like, it's hella crazy.
Wait. How do you know,
you know, like, hey, in Asia? More push to the measurement. Okay, guys, it's more push to the measurement. Yeah. I was like, I think they're in Asia. I'm going to guess they're in Asia right now.
So that's how you're judging, by not by geotag, but by size.
Am I stereotyping? Maybe girth. I'm stereotyping.
Is that why you're in Thailand to see those dicks in person?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was going to say, there's got to be a crazy a ceiling for the dick pics, you know what I mean? Like, it definitely is something when you're using your sexuality as part of your job, you know? I feel like that's, like, a whole nother level.
Have you ever sent a dick pic?
No.
Mirchart, does your wife ever want dick pics when you're on the road?
Not dick pics specifically, no. I don't know about most women, because I am not one, if you haven't noticed. But generally, they don't enjoy just seeing the phallus itself for no reason. Yeah. It's not an appealing thing, you know.
Yeah, usually they want the balls and shaft and your face all in the same pic. I don't get it.
Mayhem, you got a lot of dick pics, right? A lot of gay people love you. You must get tons of them.
No, I mean, yeah, I get weird dick pics from ladies. Yeah, that's a weird one. Yeah.
From ladies?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm sure Thailand has plenty of those as well.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So, I know, are you quarantined in Thailand?
Yeah, so they've just finally put us in lockdown now. And they've issued, so they're actually going to start doing certain media bans with what's going out and what's coming in, is because they're still under, like, a king hierarchy. Mm. Where people get fined if they talk ill of the king. So right now he's actually shacked up with 20 women in like Germany or something, quarantined himself. Yeah, like done some full old school boss moves or something.
I wouldn't say all this. You don't want to get deported from Thailand. Like, what are you doing?
I'm trying to cross all the countries off my list.
I know. I just told you. You're being a...
That list is going to be cut short in a second.
I know, yeah. She's going to be... Once you get kicked out of Thailand, oh, my God.
So they've just started quarantining. We're not allowed on the roads between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. And, yes, there's going to be certain social media bannings. And then in the future, they're talking about having police on the streets at night as well.
Wow. Now, lingerie fighting, that's kind of scripted like WWE, right? Like, you know who's going to win and stuff?
I don't know if they know who's going to win, but I do know that it's meant to be, like, more of a, it's more of a WWE-style MMA. Mm. It's super interesting. Honestly, I went there to have a laugh at one of my strong safeties who was doing it, and I thought, hell yeah, this is going to be the best night. I'm going to laugh so much at you. And then when I went to watch, they actually knew legit jiu-jitsu technique. And then I kind of got impressed. I was like, okay, you got my attention now, ladies. You got my attention. Mm. Let's see how it is. And then I was like, hey, how much are you guys balling out of this? Because I don't know about any other people who are like in the fighting game. I'm sure you're at a higher UFC level. So things, you know, can start to change. But on that climb to the top, like, there isn't that much available for people in paychecks or something that can kind of keep you on just in the gym and in training. And that's just the truth for this sport and the truth for any sport. In fact, So when I found out they started actually making good money, I thought, okay, so you guys are a part of a reality TV show. There's a million podcast shows you guys can jump on. And you do live shows like throughout America. I thought, okay, so this could be something where I'm training full time. I'm still fighting. It doesn't interfere with any fighting on the way up. And there's titties and violence. And that's the nice stuff to me.
Man, that is a great advertisement. Titties and violence.
Yeah.
Slap that on a t-shirt. Hey, so, all right, but now you're kicked out of America, and, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to get my visa. It's not forever, guys. Everyone's like, yes. I'm like, no, it's not forever. It's waiting to get my new P&O type visa, just so that I can do everything legit, so that I can earn money with the LFC, and so that I can maybe earn some money that has to correspond with the O and P type visa and allows me to continue competing. So it's not forever.
O-N-T, what is that? O-N what?
O-N-P, sorry, might be my accent.
O-type.
O-type and P-type.
Now, Mirsha, you're married, right? You married?
Almost, we're getting there. Very okay. Close.
Now, would your fiance get mad if you train some of these girls? Because you have great jiu-jitsu. Do you think maybe you can get involved with the lingerie fighting championship?
Well, probably not while they're wearing lingerie. That's probably a bad idea. I'll instruct group classes. Actually, Ty, I have a question for you that doesn't involve titties, unlike my chauvinist co-host here, Adam.
Nice.
Has these opportunities led you to anything else? Like, have you bartered your LFC or are you going to use that leverage eventually to, say, get into an Invicta or something like that, maybe get on UFC Fight Pass?
Solid question.
Invicta is the goal. Like, Invicta, okay, I got to go there. I watched Cheyenne. I was in Cheyenne Bai's corner. I worked in her camp when I was still first coming in and learning. And Invicta was like the dream goal. Getting to be able to sit in there in Kansas was awesome. I posted up the belt. I was like, this ruby shining belt. One day I'm going to have this strap right around me. That's the best female like card. That's the best female card to put your skills to the test. Like, every single chick there was a true warrior. What's her name, Marcy, who's in the 135 or the 145 from the Tough series? She was out there before she got on the TV show. Who else was on that card? I can think of. What was that, sorry?
That's his teammate, Macy Barber, right?
Oh, okay. Now I know where we're at. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't watch the shows. I'm at training and I don't own a TV. Yeah. Nice. Sorry. My bad.
Now, I got to ask you though. So a lot of MMA fighters are getting into OnlyFans, right? Which is
hell yeah.
Now,
my OnlyFans, guys. I'm going down that route too.
No, you have an OnlyFans account. I can't join because my wife and we have a connected our bank accounts, and she would say, "What the fuck is this?" And then I'd have to explain. But what is OnlyFans? What can people see? What is this?
A lot of mine, I've just used old shoots because I've been a published model since I was like 19 or for the last decade of my life. So I'm trying to use just a lot of the unused photos from my career and from the ones that I pulled the pin to. I was meant to shoot for Playboy. And I pulled the pin just because the photographer was a complete jack. And I thought, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with this anymore.
Wait. What do you mean a complete jack? He was completely jacking off?
He was super weird. He was unprofessional. And like, yeah, I get it. Maybe you can talk to some other girls who are like, I don't know, are going to allow someone to talk to them like that. But this is meant to be, for me, modeling is like, it's a canvas. So as much as people want to laugh about it, you're still like at the end of the day, a blank canvas for someone to be putting out on print. And I don't know, sometimes if they're using the wrong paints, I don't really want to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. That's why I got out of modeling.
You were harassing the photographer.
Yeah. He was hot.
So, that's mainly what I'm using. I'm throwing up, I'm linked with a Twitch account. So I'm also jump onto a Twitch account which is Coco Butters TV. I get in there, we just have a laugh and talk with all the gamers because that shit's funny. And then also a heap of workouts as well. So there's still titties, violence. I throw as much content as I can with getting people to like film. Just because I think well, that's what they are. They're super fans, you know. So really, I just try and put a bit more of the Aurora journey up, so people can see what's really, like, what they're really putting their money to. So I guess until people start paying us to keep our clothes on, hey, like, at the end of the day, guys, like, it's paying the bills more. I'm actually a qualified electrical contractor. I was the first female to run my own electrical contracting business out of Australia. I was also the first thermographer and the youngest female to do so. So I've got some brains about me, and it still sucks that tits and violence is going to still pay more.
No, I really feel like you're like, no, you're like hitting the vein of, like, I said it earlier on the show that, like, we live in the future and it kind of sucks here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you've tapped into exactly where we're at right now as a society. Sure. You know, is it strange? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it's awesome. And you're a martial artist, a true one. And you're right about that. I watched some of the Lingerie Fighting Championship, and at first I went in very like, and yes. Then I was like, oh, you guys are busting maneuvers. Like, you know what I mean? Spinning for an arm bar, you know, doing a lot of things that you see less frequently in UFC because it's a totally different, they're trying to get to a totally different place. When the entertainment is the most important factor, it becomes a different sport. It becomes more, you know, more exciting, and they both take chances. Like, you guys, yeah, it's an artful show.
There's no punches to the face as well. So ground and pound positions seem to be a little bit more, I guess, jiu-jitsu minded, yeah, because you're going to be wanting to go for those subs.
Now, what's the first female thermographer? What's that?
A thermography. So electricity is frequency. Frequency is vibration. Vibration is heat. Pretty much it's like a predator camera. You know, like how predator sees in heat.
Yeah. Man, you are turning me on so much.
Damn.
Talk more about, I like, if there's one thing I always wanted, you know, I wanted robot arms, but the second thing that I always wanted was heat vision, predator vision, and man, when you talked about it with that accent, oh my God, blew my mind.
I mean, you're a predator in heat all the time. So
I feel like I got to do more with my life now, because I'm like, I got dogs and a mustache, and that's about it. Yeah. Other than fighting in the UFC.
You're killing it. Good for you.
There's not a lot going on.
Ty, do you have a mustache man emoji?
Now, Ty, do you have a boyfriend? Are you into women? What kind of? What's going on?
I don't have a boyfriend. Killer. I'm not into women. That would be a head case. Oh, sorry, lesbians out there, all for you. But hey, that's a real chick. If you can eat a vagina for the rest of your life, like, all to you, like, you the man. No, I'm single, obviously, with the personality like this. I just train. I train way too much. Like, I don't know how people have time for partners. Like, I give you full credit to be able to do something like that. By the end of my day, I am so tired. So it would be... I would either need someone who's in the game or someone who is so understanding. And that can be a difficult sort of thing, you know.
So let's play the dating game.
Find someone who's as busy as you are is what you got to do.
Let's say, Gerald, your fiance goes away. You guys break up. You want to take Ty out on a date. Where would you take her? First date.
As far from you as possible. You've been sweating just messing with your hair this whole time. It's all making me uncomfortable. We're not even in the same room.
First of all, you came to my show. Nobody was creepier than you in that crowd, all right? Now, Mayhem, all right, this beautiful lady, she's single. You want to take her out? Where do you take Ty out in the day?
Well, firstly, we probably have to go to the pawn shop, right? And get a couple of samurai swords, right? Because I think the first place we go is to the park, and we probably fight with samurai swords for about 15 minutes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Get a nice warm up.
The best.
Yeah. I'm saying. I'll melt your heart. Now, I think after that, it would be a picnic of some sort, probably near an anthill, so that it was like a timed picnic, so that we just like get it going, get the picnic, and then once we get overrun by ants, then we could take our clothes off. I mean, really, it's all about getting to there. So I blew it.
But she seems like the kind of girl that doesn't put out the first date, right?
Nah, for sure. She'll snap you down to a front headlock and, like, jump guards, and then put you in
a position. All I've got control. Is Insane Clown Posse as my reply right now, playing nice. Over in my head. First what? Thing, I can never love you. So, yeah, anyway.
Nice.
Here's our
right, geez.
So, all right. So, after we get out, you had a big win. By the way, how did you not get the bonus for that fight? That was the best comeback of the night.
I don't know. I have no idea. Tell Dana White I deserve the bonus next time, and then maybe I'll get it. If the great Al Hunter, world famous comedian, tells him that I should get the bonus, it might actually work.
Yeah, no, he's probably going to start a GoFundMe so you get a bonus.
Of course. Yeah, no, by the way, Cardi B started a GoFundMe today for Joe Exotic. Just so you know. Yeah.
Man, even your daughter doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, bro. Really? That is your kid, man. She sounds just like you.
Now, Ty, how old are you? You're like, what, 20s?
No, I'm 33 now.
Oh, so you're in your prime.
Yeah, none. No, in my prime, I got 2 more years, 35. 35 is meant to be your, like, true evolved Pokemon state. So I definitely have always, since I was young, I always wanted to get to that 35 mark just so I could see exactly what I could do with my body to its fullest potential. So kind of weird. I end up in fighting as the last thing, probably because that's the most damage.
It's possible. What about this? What about these surgeries? You had them at the same time, and now you're going through rehab right now? That's pretty hardcore.
No, I'm out of rehab. It's been over a full year now. I had my first ACL from my football day, so I think that was back 2009, and then the second one went to, 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago.
You still can't kick, though?
Oh, no, I can kick now. It was more I had been putting more focus on my wrestling and jiu-jitsu because that's what I was good at. Like, naturally coming in, that's what I was like, just, you know, you want to train what you're good at. And then boxing, just because I couldn't, it just wasn't that working that well with using two legs. So I was still moving and still going to training. You can do anything with a hurt ACL.
Now, how many guys at the gym are hit on you daily?
I probably block that out because I just want to train. I get in enough trouble as it is, just coming in and being like, hey, how are you going? Next thing you know, she's after my gun. I'm like, I don't even know who you're talking about.
Wow.
I'm just trying to get to the mat.
Yeah, but look, somebody's going to come in there, steal your heart, girl. You better be careful.
Yeah, I could tell she likes you. Mayhem, she likes bad boys. She likes this guy right here. You ever see his ring entrances back in the day? It would be him, 19, Asian. She's a little young.
You're going to send her down a Mayhem rabbit hole on YouTube. Yeah. Thanks for that, bud. I really appreciate it. Always looking out for me.
And he'd be dancing with 9 Asian girls, come out with a mask. And this guy tapped out Sakuraba. This is
a legend
here. And then Mearshart's one of the best fighters ever. The guy wins 9 fights in a row, and still nobody knows who he is. He's the most humble guy.
You know what the problem is? I just thought about it, Gerald. Bro, you got to start talking shit. What's that guy's name? What was that guy's name you called out? Because I already forgot.
Oh, the guy just fought Duran. So that's the one I got the most hype for.
Ian Heinisch. Call him a bitch.
I don't need to call him a bitch.
Say it.
He's a nice guy. This is a gentleman right here.
Oh, all right. Call him a fake Mexican.
Does he think he's Mexican?
No.
Just say it.
His last name is Heinisch. I don't think that's even like remotely the same.
Oh, call him a Jew. Call him a dirty Jew.
Tell him you're gonna put his foot up. Tell him you're gonna put your foot up his ass, and then to match the cocaine balloons or something. You're gonna
hit him hard. See, we're writing for him. Go ahead and say that so we can cut it out. Just that. Ready, action.
Ian Heinisch, I'm gonna put my foot up your ass like cocaine balloons.
You know what? We need to work on your delivery. But that was pretty solid. That was pretty solid.
I like it.
He giggled at the end. Come on.
I tried.
And a giggle. One more.
When I said balloons before ass, it was too much.
It was really good, though. It was really good. All right. Fuck it. You won. You won the internet today.
Well, listen, thank both of you guys for coming out. Where can people find you, Ty?
Just the normal Instagram, TAI_EMERY.
Yeah. So that's where you send the dick pics, Scott.
I'm pretty sure you're gonna get a lot of new fans after this. And you have the worst screen name, GM3. That's like
that's my initials, genius.
Yeah. Well, I hope that General Motors doesn't come out with a 3 and then they'll steal your damn name. Yeah. You're fucked.
So that's my Instagram name. Please, for the love of God, do not send me any dick pics, or I will definitely put them on my story.
Hey, I started a new one with Mayhem Miller, but with 3s instead of E's because somebody stole mine.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. Anyway,
it doesn't happen. It only happens to me, bro. Just like I never have robot arms, and I'm never gonna have predator vision.
Well, listen, I think that I think we should go out. You should take Ty on a date. We should film it for the podcast. Honestly.
Okay, boomer.
And then Mearshart will be the Uber driver.
Perfect.
No.
Great. I'll get a little driver's cap and everything.
He's so dry. He's funny. Perfect.
I know.
He's so dry. But you're funny as hell. I'm so happy that you won, dude. I was super thrilled for you. Congratulations. I
appreciate it. Well, hopefully we don't all die of corona.
Because when you came to my show the last time and you got knocked out in 8 seconds, I felt like it was like my fault. The night before you were at my show.
Yeah, so I got choked out, not knocked out. Important distinction.
So I was so happy. Yeah. I was so happy you didn't come to this one, to my show the night before, even though I invited
you. Yeah, I thought about, I'm not, in the words of the great Michael Scott, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'll just sit this one out.
Well, listen, you're an amazing fighter, Ty. I can't wait to follow your journey. I gotta get I'm gonna go buy one of those fake credit cards from whatever and sign up to your OnlyFans. but thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Take it easy, man.
Bye. All right, stop video here.
Oh, what? Stop video? Oh, I thought we were gonna do a breakdown then.
Stop video. No.
I'm just sitting here quietly. I'm stopping for the last 5 minutes. And it's not like, we can't hear her giggle anymore.
I know. You gotta log off.
My bad.
No, just whatever. We love you too.
All right. So anyway, so that was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that went better than I thought. And I kind of zoned out there for a while, but then she said something about titties. I'm just such a damn brute. I can't help it. I don't want to be this way, but it's just, I'm like conditioned by I don't know. Sexuality on television.
She's a beautiful girl who could fight.
Real smart.
Who's smart. I mean,
smart lady, yeah. She's like taking advantage of her assets, you know what I mean? And I feel like that it's weird that we, we got that view into some, like, who the hell does lingerie fighting, right? And then you meet the girl, and then, all right, she's smart. Like, she's just taking advantage of what God gave her.
I feel like you guys would be a cute couple, though, no?
Oh, Jesus. No. Bro, what are you? Some kind of weird yenta? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm a yenta. So there you got John Dawson calling in. Didn't you coach Dawson?
Definitely. He was like one of the most talented dudes that I ever coached, really. Yeah.
I just remember you being surprised he was the mole. Remember he was the mole on the show?
I remember that, yeah. But then I wasn't surprised when I thought about it, you know what I mean? I kind of act surprised for reality television, but then I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like two dudes that are been training together for years, they're not gonna not talk once they're in the house on different teams. So I don't know. I wasn't surprised once it came out. Yeah, I remember that. Shit, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, he was the mole. And he's coming over a huge win over Nathaniel Wood. Some people think it was stopped a little early. But I thought it was pretty much stopped when it should have been stopped. His punch is so fast. It gets you down and throws 7,000 punches at once. And he was on a 2-fight losing streak. I mean, he was fighting Petr Yan and Jimmy Rivera. They put him up against monsters. But Dawson's always been right there.
I feel like Dawson has always had the rough road. Like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting that, people don't really understand what doing, like, they just look at everybody as like video game characters. But you, there's a way where you can direct a fighter to fight certain people at certain times of their career, and the path will become easier or harder because of the timing of the fights. You know, if you bring a guy along slowly and you have him fight progressively more difficult competition, it really makes a difference in the longevity of their career, how well they do on title runs, or, you know what I mean? You can build them. You can build a fighter. So yeah, I feel like Dodson, they always like jumped him up all the time. And I guess that's a testament to his talent, to how good he is, that they always just stuck the best dudes, you know, the hottest fighter of the time right in front of him. I don't know.
His second fight ever was against Yasuhiro Urushitani.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess was a real badass back in the day. That was his second fight.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that's so talented that they, I don't know, they always going to stick somebody in front of them. So what's up? Are we getting this guy on the show? Or are we just going to talk about him?
No, he said he's downloading the app real quick.
I mean, that makes sense that he's doing it right now when we got like 5 minutes left in the show.
It was kind of my fault for telling him late. But also, I'm the one booking all the guests, Mayhem, all right?
No.
So
you know what? You want me to book some guests? Is that what you're saying? You need me to shoulder the load?
If you want to. I mean, I...
Well, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't book a fake John Jones. And just suddenly, like, fucking pretend it was the real John Jones so that everybody gets pissed off on Twitter.
Yeah, I like how you're playing it with a little mustache. You don't take some of the fun. Like, I didn't tell you last night what this plan was, and you didn't laugh, and both of us didn't have a fucking thing. But now on the podcast, you're like, I didn't book a fake John Jones.
Come on, bro. Kayfabe, come on.
So now everyone's mad. Like, Mayhem was ready. That was fucked
everybody
up.
Everybody should be mad. And if anybody, only the most hardcore of the hardcore Jimmy Nakamura are watching this far into the show. So everybody hung up on us as soon as John Jones came on. And maybe they only hung on. And once the news gets out that it's fake John Jones, this episode is getting like 800 views.
Jimmy Nakamura is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time.
So John Dodson right here. Fan.
But give him a second to figure out to turn his camera sideways. I'm going to push the bottom left. Look, I'm still coaching this guy 20 years later. Push the bottom left. There's a video thing. And then at the bottom left, there's also unmute your mic, Dodson.
Was he the best guy? Suddenly, was he the best guy you ever coached?
I mean, you know, that's hard to say. You know, I coached a ton of dudes. So, you know, I will say he's one of the most talented athletes I ever seen, and kind of like Ant-Man sort of, where he's like just small muscle frame built into like, you know, like this one cuddly character. Yeah, definitely. Adorable, that guy. It's a hard word to say, adorable.
He's also, I think also his big problem is that he goes up to 197 pounds in between fights.
You know, man's got to eat.
Yep. I think that's the Filipino part of him.
It is. He's like lumpia and frickin', you know what I mean? Autumn vegetables. I mean, all them vegetables fried in fat. All right, so.
Yo, don't judge that.
Push the bottom left and turn the video on, dude. We got to see your smiley face.
Is that what he said? Don't judge that?
Yeah, yeah. Because we're being racist right, against on. Filipino.
I literally just jumped on right now and I'm getting attacked.
Filipinos love to eat. Everyone loves to eat. But.
Bottom left video.
Here we go.
Yeah, touch this. Oh.
There he is. John Dodson.
Yeah.
Yes, it works. Okay, cool.
Nice,
now you can see my ugly face.
We love it. Beautiful face.
What a handsome devil.
Ooh, yes. How you been, man?
I've been awesome, bro. Great to see you, man. It's an amazing time. He told me this is going down, but I couldn't even think of like what to talk to you about. But I don't know. It's just great to see you, man. I follow your career, and I feel like you did great. And like, I'm just like so happy that you're in a good spot. But what's up with your boy, John Jones?
My boy, man. Don't be asking me what he's been doing. I've been quarantined. Apparently, you saw the video. He wasn't in quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even staying in my house with my kids, driving me nuts.
I heard you locked yourself into a shoebox this entire time. Is that true?
Yeah, it's like directly like right behind me over there in that area.
Nice house, by the way. Nice house.
No, that's the gym. That's where I've been locking myself so I don't beat up everybody.
Really? Nice. Now, by the way, now, first of all, congrats on the last win. That was huge. I was so happy for you, man. I was so proud of you. Good work.
Yeah, talk about the fight. Like, how did you see that playing out? And what, you know what I mean? How did you game plan? And did it go right according to plan? Or what happened?
Well, it went according to plan. Like, I expected him to come out aggressive a lot sooner. And I was going to be able to hurt him way faster. But I ended up clipping him towards the end of the round. And as soon as I did, he sat there and told me that it was an early stoppage and he wanted me to fight him in London. I was like, sure, let's go ahead and do it. Like, we can run it back. I like money. I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it did seem a little bit early. But then again, like, you punched so hard and so fast that it would have been another 20 punches in his head.
Right? Yeah, then he would have woke up back in England as soon as he would have got up. He would have been like, yeah. Thank you, all you UK fans. And I've been like, no, we're in Albuquerque, man. I don't know where you went back to. I mean, you went back to your motherland. That's not our land.
you were in Albuquerque, right? So yeah. It's kind of one of those things where, I don't know. Don't you think that there's like a magical feeling like when the crowd is behind you and you hurt the guy real bad, that the referee like, freaks out and stops it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. Like, there's that instinct where everybody's like, oh, man, the crowd should roar and everybody's all cheering. If that was the case, I'd be knocked out every single time that I by anybody. Because I'd be hit and I'm like, oh, okay, hold on, wait. Give me a second. All right, let's go back and run these punches back in my face.
Yeah, I hear you.
It seemed like this. A lot of times you fight, you're smiling, having fun. It's like this fight, you were like, all right, this is business. Like, fuck this. I got to get a win.
Tell you the truth, it's make it or break it. If I didn't beat this young kid, that means I was no longer relevant in the sport. So I was like, I got to go out there and solidify the fact that I can go put my hands on everybody and I'm the best in the world. So I still, sorry, it moved. I leaned back, my headphones pulled up my iPad. But I got to tell everybody, show everybody that I'm still in the game and that I crush everybody's soul, so.
You
that's what I did with his.
Now, I know that sometimes you get up to like 230 in between fights, 240. I know you're quarantined right
now. Go higher.
I mean, well, you get up to like 190 sometimes, right? For real?
No, for real, I get up to like maybe 170. The highest I've ever been was like on the Ultimate Fighter. I was like 169, 168.
Okay.
Everyone was like, 35. Oh, you're a little chubby dude. And I was like, don't judge me.
But are you, during this quarantine, are you, like, that could be a trap. Are you figuring out how to stay, keep in shape and not let yourself get too big?
Yeah, I'm always training. I train every single day. And then my wife laughs at me because of the fact that I'm playing I'm making sure I work on my hand-eye coordination by playing a lot of video games. But I also do it on my endo board. And she's like, babe, you're going to fall. You're going to crash in. You're going to hurt. And everyone's here screaming, cussing out everybody. It's like, it's okay. I'm not going to fall. Like, what's I literally play. What's it's a balance board.
Okay.
Yeah, so I basically...
What game are you playing?
Right now, I'm playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm always on that Warzone, killing everybody.
Man, you know what? I got to get back on that one. That one's pretty damn sexy, I'll tell you what. Are you on Xbox Live?
Of course.
Wow Mayhem Miller. That's me. Wow Mayhem Miller. I'll add you.
Yeah. All right, sum zero.
Nice.
So when you have this little dude with a bunny and a hat, that's me.
Nice. I figure you get some weird skins.
Now, why did you leave?
I got like that ghillie mash.
Why did you leave Jackson's to start your own Jackson's?
Well, I didn't leave Jackson's. I've actually trained at every single one of them. That was like the weird thing that everyone kept on asking me, like, hey, why did you leave Jackson Wings? And I was like, I didn't. I still trained at Jackson Wings, and I trained at Jackson Acoma, and I trained at the Ranch. I'm just doing everything best for me now. Like, literally, everybody is asking me, like, what gym I'm training at, and I'm basically training mostly at my house, but I go to spar at all the different places. I just want to get better at every aspect of my own game, and I'm just trying to build a better John Dotson. So nothing's really changed.
Would you say that like before things were all built around you, you know, the training camps were a little difficult? I got to think that over there at Winx, like there's like so many damn star during that era. There was like so many like big name guys that, you know, resources get pulled away. Do you think that the training's better now?
Well, the way that I'm doing it right now, I'm more focusing in on what I need to do. Back then, I was always teaching, trying to help everybody else to perfect their game. And sometimes, like, all the other coaches needed to go do something, so they'd rely on me to go ahead and coach all the younger fighters and the people who had upcoming fights coming up that weren't in the UFC or the bigger shows. And they're like, hey, John, do you think you can help that person out with jiu-jitsu? Can you help that person out with their striking? Can you game plan for them? And I'm like, I can, but I still got to work on my own stuff. I got my own fight to get ready for. It's only going to take, like, a few minutes turn into like 2 months sometimes.
Have you talked to Diego since his departure with that coach?
Wait, which he got rid of his guru?
No, I'm saying since he left Jackson and then. Oh.
Have you talked to- I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know he left the self-awareness dude.
No, so have you talked to that guy, the self-awareness guy?
I talked to, so I literally talked to them before quarantine, like a week before, because we went to go to this place called Slapfish to eat. Me and my wife were like, let's go try this out. Diego was talking about it. Let's go see how it is. And then sure enough, he was sitting there right there with us. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? But yeah,
he seems all right. So tell us about that. Like, you can't just stop that. Like,
what,
so,
eat a slapfish?
No. I know. But are you got your – so what do you think about the guru?
The guru, you know, he's cool. He's an interesting dude. He's this very, like – he believes in himself a lot, and I not to talk about bad about the guy, but he's very self-confident about what he can do and what he can show. And I really want to believe what he does is true, but I haven't seen proof yet.
Diego Sanchez won his last fight and didn't take any damage, right?
Did you not see the cut on his forehead?
That's a good point.
All right. Yeah, you got me there.
What's it like being with another black fighter in your camp, Mike Perry? Are you guys close?
Wait, when did he – I thought he left my team.
Oh, Mike Perry left?
Yeah, he's not part of Jackson Wings. He left a long time ago after he fought with a cowboy in Colorado. He left because he started some issues with Ray Borg, and then Ray Borg didn't believe in Jackson Wings. And then – Mike Perry said, you guys trained me for nothing. You guys didn't tell me this guy had a wrestling or jiu-jitsu ability. I was like, you trained with him. How do you not know that he can actually submit you easily?
Mm. Oh, he got mad for not telling them that Cowboy knows wrestling or jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, Wink and Frank basically told him that he was going to win the fight by knocking Cowboy out, and they got submitted. So Mike Perry just went out on Rampage and started talking crap to everybody, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
How do you not know your opponent knows how to wrestle or does jiu-jitsu?
I mean, maybe he doesn't have UFC Fight Pass.
No, they get that. We get that for free.
No, we don't have YouTube then.
How do you, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You didn't tell me he knew how to do jiu-jitsu? Like,
that's bizarre.
Yeah, like you. It's like as if you didn't watch any of the fights prior to his like UFC career or even in his UFC career. You've seen Cowboy take people down. He submitted a bunch of people. And his first 9 victories in mixed martial arts were by submission. Like, people forget.
How's it like having Mayhem as your coach?
Having Mayhem as my coach?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the wild stuff we did. No, I'm kidding. Like, Mayhem was the best coach ever. I, like, literally felt so at home on the Ultimate Fighter than I've ever felt in my entire life. Like, literally, I went out there and I was like, oh, this is going to be, like, the hardest thing. Jason picked me up. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, I admire this dude. Thank God I'm not on Bisbee's team. And then immediately it was like, hey, I'll help you out in whatever area is possible. And I was like, wait a minute. You're not a joker like I thought you were.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm going to be holding this.
No, I'm still a joker, but there's two parts to me, you know. Training guy, and then like, let's be, you know what I mean, let's get it on the mat. And then there's the wacky, hey, take your shirt, cut it up. Like, you know, I'm glad you said that because I don't think people realize that I didn't get to the top levels of fighting by only being a fucking wild man, you know?
Yeah, but you were so, like, honed in, and you're like, all right, look, I brought the best people to go ahead and help you. Go to the people that you want to work with, and as soon as you hit those styles, I can help you out in different areas. It's like, yes, all right, I'm going with you, and you. And I was like, let's go.
remember we brought Kamaru Usman in?
Yeah.
And coach of wrestling? That was wild. You know, it's wild that he got a good career now.
I can't believe that the guy that was picking on me, trying to be my wrestling coach in the house, is now the champion. It's very frustrating. I'm like, yo, Christian. He's like, no, my name's Kamaru. I was like, whoa, you can't change your name all of a sudden.
That was my bad. I was smoking a lot of weed, and I gave him that nickname. Shouldn't have.
Hey, what was the name you gave him?
Kush.
Kush. And I literally.
Kamaru Usman. K. Usman. Kush. Yes.
And I was like, all right, cool. And he actually introduced himself as Kush. I was like, all right, cool. His name is Kush. And I was like, yeah. Oh, Kush. He's like, no, it's Kamaru. I was like, no. Yeah.
I've
been calling you this the whole time. You know, you get a belt. Good for me. Now we're no longer friends. I see how it is.
And Jason, what's the first impression of Dotson?
I mean, he was just a wild man. Immediately got in my face and was like, asking me questions. Like, real, you know, he's just a big personality. You see who he is. That's who he really is. You know, and it was just amazing to be part of that. His early career.
Were you surprised at his power?
Yeah, absolutely. And the man was just. Remember that day that like we did that drill where I stood up and like he like basically like climbed around me like monkey bars.
Oh yeah.
That was amazing. That was hilarious. It was just showed me, like, you know what I mean, the strength and your also your endurance. Because we sat there, we did that for like an hour where we were just goofing off, and I kept picking you up, and you kept crawling all over me. That was a crazy ass drill, and I was just glad to save you from Showbiz Pizza. You know, I felt like.
It's culture. I don't care what you're going to say. It's not just so busy.
What were you doing before you came to the Ultimate Fighter?
Yo, I was working at Chuck E. Cheese. I don't care. I was Chucky dancing away in my life. Being like this, like that. Yes, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
You hear this guy? He was freaking Chucky freaking Cheese. Oh, my God. One of the best fighters in the world was Chuck E. Cheese. If that's not an advertisement for them, I don't know. I don't know what is.
Of course. I'm always nice to Chucky now whenever I see him. I think of my kid there. I'm like, this guy could be the next fucking best fighter in the UFC.
Yeah, you can't shoot a single leg on Chucky.
Now he might hit you with a double. Yeah.
Speaking of which, sometimes I feel like Dotson, I mean, obviously you're one of my favorite fighters, favorite people, but I do feel sometimes that you almost like blessed with too much power because you know how much power you have. So there are a lot of times you just seem to wait to land that big shot, and you kind of got away from your wrestling. And you were a state champ of New Mexico, right?
Yeah, I was a two-time state champion, one-time state runner-up. I just sit there and like to – I don't like wrestling, though. That's like the weird thing. I didn't like wrestling to wrestle. I always counter-wrestled to win all my matches. So everybody who shot in, I just took their back and just kept on playing with them, and then I basically was a leg rider. If I did jiu-jitsu, I'd be taking everybody's back and choking them out, but –
But does that drive your coaches crazy sometimes because they know how good a wrestler you are?
It drives them nuts. They're like, why do you just want to stand in bangles? It's like, because that's what the fans want to see. Like, I want to give with them what they want to see. And I'm like, well, you're not moving forward. And I was like, I move forward to two steps, and then I move one step to the left, and then five steps backwards to the cage, and then I circle around. John. That's not a tango. It's like, yeah, sometimes, like, you can use full of everything. Like, you know how to do jiu-jitsu, you're a black belt. You can go ahead and wrestle it. You know how to do all that stuff. Have fun with it. I was like, nah.
Wow. That's crazy. Now, you were at Holly's coach, right? Weren't you Holly's coach?
No, I got to corner, though. Corner I was Holly. Excited.
Now, when Holly and the Karate Hottie make those videos of them showing their asses and twerking and stuff, the next day in the gym.
Do you want me to twerk or what?
No, but
is that what you're saying?
No, please don't. You know what? Fuck it. You know what? Fuck it. This show's off the rails. Might as well give us a little quick. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I feel a little gay now.
Why do you know how to do that?
Because I got to sit there and show my wife how to do it. She's like, babe.
You're coaching your wife how to twerk, huh?
Hell yeah. Babe, look, I need you to go ahead and shake it like this. She's like, what, that turned you on? I was like, I'm not going to say no. But I've seen it done once or twice, and I'm teaching you how to do it for me.
What has Instagram done to the world?
Instagram?
Or isn't that where twerking TikTok originated? The Chinese have infiltrated us with TikTok twerking.
So what's going to happen with your division? Like, Cejudo's going to fight who?
He's fighting Jose Aldo.
Why?
That is the question I wonder. So get this: how did Jose get lose his fight and then get placed number six in the rankings above me when he lost his fight to Marlon Moraes. So I was like, when I beat John Lineker, when I lost Lineker, all of a sudden I got put to like 12. This ranking system that the UFC got kind of throws me off for a loop all the time because they like just like, whatever, I'm just going to place you here and put you there and mix you guys all up wherever.
Who does that? Yeah, I don't even know who makes that ranking system. You're right. It doesn't really follow too much reason. You know, there's no point system or, you know, I don't know. It just kind of seems arbitrary. You're right.
Yeah, it's just like they literally just throw everybody in where they should fit. And if they like it, how that looks, they're like, that sounds amazing. We'll keep it like that. And then let's go ahead and get to work.
I'll tell you a good fight though in that division is Corey Sandhagen is supposed to fight Aljamain Sterling. That should be a good fight.
You know, it would be a good fight if Agile was training and I saw him here in Albuquerque because he just got his cast off. He said he's got released. I was like, cool. When do you mean you're going to dance? And he said, win some fights. And I was like, I just did. And then he's fighting Corey Sandhagen. I was like, frustrated about that. Like, you know.
Wait, so do the call out. Go ahead and do the call out. You might as well. You twerked already. Who should you fight? Who do you want to fight? Who do you deserve to fight? Because we're doing it. We're doing call outs on this show all the time.
Oh, in that case, I deserve to fight Jose Aldo since he wants to go ahead and fight Henry Cejudo. Mm. Like, I already beat up Marlon Moraes, so I can go run that back. And if I I can beat up Peter Yan. Like, if I want to get that chance, go ahead and earn a fight against him and beat him up and give him the world deserved ass whooping that he needs.
What about Aljamain Sterling?
Me and him can go ahead and run him anytime. Like, I already know he's going to try to do some jiu-jitsu, and I'm going to punch him in his face.
Hell yeah.
Because I would rather fight Aljo. Me and him have a long, ongoing conversation that we need to go ahead and have it resolved.
What, who's that? Aldo?
Yeah.
Aldo, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Aljamain has, like, a lot of, like, very choice words to say about me, and then when it gets a face-to-face, he just used to be really nice, and I want to punch him in the face so many times. But if I do it while he's being nice, then I definitely get arrested.
Oh, good Lord, Dodson. You're still a madman. I love it. I'm so happy you're in Albuquerque. I don't think any other planet could take you.
Yeah, because we're out here with Alba crazy.
Have you talked to Jackson Wink since the John Jones situation?
No, I haven't even been to the gym. Tell you the truth, I've been in quarantine for 18 days.
Damn.
So I haven't left
my house. Is that how long it's been?
No.
What is it like?
I've been in my house for 18 days.
Wow. It's like March 82nd right now. Like, what the fuck? This is the longest month ever. Yeah, I don't even get this, man. I'm so sick of being, like, holed up, bro. I'm really going insane. I've been telling him that, I don't know, I'm just like, making homemade dynamite at this point.
Now, did you reach out to Matt when he was in church naked? Did you say to him like, "Hey, man"?
No.
No.
The funny thing is, so I couldn't sit there and get a hold of you because I didn't have your number. But you know who I text was Mel.
Yeah.
What he's like, yo, no. I was like, Mel, what's up with your boy? He goes, my boy.
Disavow all knowledge.
Yeah. He was like, you need to go ahead and get a hold of him. I don't have his number.
Yeah, I know. When you do fucked up shit, like the whole world goes crazy. And then John Jones gets all the text messages for the real John Jones.
We had
that white guy feels so bad for him, man.
He was on the podcast today.
Bro, he's on the show today. He totally trolled me.
When he didn't know who you were, he was like,
No, I thought that John Jones was going to be on the show. And he was. Technically.
It was the other John Jones.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy thinking that you have two kids. But two kids or three kids?
Three
kids.
I got a son that's 8, a 4-year-old who's a monster, and she thinks that saying hello to people is punching them in the face. And then I have a little baby who is 10 months right today, and she's just so full of life, and all she wants to do is slide everywhere, but doesn't want to fall. She slid herself underneath her crib, and I couldn't find her, and I was like, where the hell are you? And I hear, so I was like looking around, and she's like all the way underneath the bed. I was like, I can't get you.
Who hits harder, your daughter or Aljamain Sterling?
Probably my daughter. She has better technique.
Shot fired.
He's so likable, and that smile, that even when you do shit talk, it's almost like you just love the guy, you know? It's hard. Does anyone ever talk to you in like real life?
Yeah, all the time. My wife, my kids.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't know how to be serious. I was like, I was literally telling you to go ahead and do the dishes. My kids always are mad at me. They're like, you didn't tell me. Mom told me to do it, and you said it was not okay. And I was like, I was kidding. I literally was kidding about that. Dad, you got me in trouble.
That's awesome.
Man, well, the home life for Dodson, it sounds like a damn reality TV ready to explode.
Oh, you missed it. I got so offended. I got heartbroken. My wife decided, she saw this thing on TikTok. She was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to Simba you. And you know what Simba is, right? You know?
No.
So like off of the Lion King, they went in and they like put that little red mark on top of like
Simba's forehead.
When I was younger, back in my day, Simba was a different thing that you do. And that was a form of disrespect. But you did it to your spouse. And you just make sure that you had your cum on top of your hand and your wife did on top of their forehead. She did that to me. And I was like, babe, what the hell did you do? Is that period blood on my forehead? She goes, what? No, that's not period blood. It's lipstick. I was like, nah, you just, she's like, in case she hit me with a Simba. All nice and slow. And I was like, and I was like, that better not be period blood. She's like, no. And I was like, yes, you did. You better take that down. Take that video now. It was lipstick. I'll show you. It's like, no. And then she sat down and I all that.
When I was younger, we had the Hitler. You just like, you know, pop your thumb in the butthole and then rub it down the nose right there. Yeah.
We had the bad dog where you come on the rug and take the girl's face and go, bad dog, bad dog.
We had the Spider-Man where you take your jizz and fling it like that. No.
Yeah, this is really evolved, this conversation. So listen, John Dodson, you're awesome. Happy quarantine. Definitely stay safe, okay?
And I'm making sure nobody comes over to the house. Everyone keeps going to get mad because they want to come over and eat food. And I'm like, nah, y'all can come through. They're like,
yeah,
why? Like,
the best cook on an Ultimate Fighter history right here, everybody. Just so you know, best cook, Ultimate Fighter history. This guy right here you did it right every time. Good job.
By the way, your wife is what? Your wife is Latina?
Yeah, she's Hispanic.
So your kids are Hispanic, Black, and Filipino?
Yeah. That's so there's awesome. A mixture. They're just a huge old mutts.
That's a great.
So thing. Basically, like Trump wants you out of the country. I get it.
Oh, exactly. They're like, we're building a wall all over you.
Yeah. Oh, God bless you, John Dodson. Man, we're gonna keep checking in with you. You know, we definitely will have you back on.
Oh, for sure, man. I can't wait to be back on.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Let us
go. Oh, the baby.
Say bye.
Bye.
Hi, Dodson. They're so cute. Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh,
they're like, goodness. Oh, you're all talking to somebody. We're going to come too. We need to see some other people besides you.
All right. Hang up on us, bro. All we right. Miss you.
Miss y'all too. See y'all later.
Take care. Peace. All right.
I love John Dodson. He's great.
So that's our podcast today.
Is it? Was that? I think that was it.
You all right?
No, bro. I'm so, you know what? I left CNN on in the background. Shouldn't have done that. It was affecting me the whole time. So all these like terrible, in Italy, 51 doctors have died from the virus. Coronavirus crisis. Bro, it's making me insane, dude. Don't, you know what? I'm switching it off. Gonna play some Doom, hack on some video games, maybe go for a jog. You know, I can handle this. You can handle this. We can handle this. We're stronger together.
All right. I love you, man.
And I'll book the guests. I love you too, bro. I'll book the guests next time.
All right, cool. But whatever you want. Take care. Tuni sons to dorpo lan. Tada stotan dorpo da moro.